We read the place that God hath had. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths the God's word he hath given. A beautiful heaven must be. A beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary, a beautiful heaven must be. In heaven your drooping not finding, no wishing for elsewhere to be.
If my robe is white, Good to see everyone out this morning, as I said earlier, and thankful to be with you and be able to worship with you and look into another portion of God's Word and look into some things that we've looked at many times, and you know, the stories that, you know, the Bible, the good part about it is it doesn't change. Now, we can bring forth a lot of lessons from it, that's for sure, but the thing about it, it still doesn't change. It'll always read the same. And what happens a lot of time is man wants to put his, as I mentioned there in Bible study, his two cents in, and that's where the problem begins. But, you know, we have to be on guard against that. There's only one way to be on guard against it, is having a knowledge of it, just like anything else. If you're going to work in electricity, you have to have a knowledge of it so that you don't get electrocuted. If you want to have a job in welding, you've got to learn how to weld. You got to be aware of the, you know, have some safety, some minds of the safety issues that you have to do with that, just like anything else. And but this right here, you know, those things can harm the body. If we don't have a knowledge of God's Word, our souls can be lost for eternity. We can fall for anything. And so that's why we have to look into His Word. You know, you hear this quite a bit, when they will advertise certain products. You know, this right here is the new and convenient way. This right here is a way that will be so much easier for you. And that's what I want to base my lesson on this morning that comes from over there in 1 Kings chapter 12. It's something that a king over there tried to do, and he caused it from on down through the ages to cause others to be lost because of that. A new and convenient religion is what he introduced there, Jeroboam did. But before we get into that completely, when you go over there and you read about some of the things that took place earlier in that 1 Kings, you look over there in chapter 11, you see how that Solomon had sinned, and how that when you look there in chapter 11 of 1 Kings and about verses 4 through 11, you see how that he had all these different women or these different wives from different places there, and he began to build all these different places of worship, idol worshipers. So this is where the root of the problem began right there. But when you go down there to about verse 11, it says, because of this, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. This was the whole start of it right there. The snowball that started out about the size of a softball, and as it rolled down the hill, it got bigger and bigger and caused more problems. Which leads us there to what Jeroboam and the people there, they had came to Rehoboam, speaking to him because he was king there, and Solomon had died. And what he had done there, they was wanting to know if he would lighten their burden there. Now, Solomon there had caused a tremendous weight upon these people here and the taxation and everything else. And now they were just asking for him, to lighten up. But Rehoboam there, he took the advice of older men, or younger men actually, and disregarded the older men and wouldn't do it. So because of that, when you go over there to in chapter 12 as well, there was a rebellion. And the 10 tribes there they made Jeroboam king, which this was all something that was prophesied that would take place. But it was after he became king that he introduced this new and modified, as he put it over there, religion. And this was a very serious sin. Men have since blindly followed the steps of this wicked man because of what he had done there. And that's what I want to base this lesson on today that we'll look into. Consider that new religion that Jeroboam had presented these people. The first thing we have to keep in mind is that we must worship God, and it must be His way only. Now, what Jeroboam introduced right there was not His way only. When you go over there to that chapter 12 of 1 Kings, and we'll read there in verses starting at about verse 25, says, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. Why? Because they had to go back to Jerusalem, where they were supposed to go to worship. He said, but in verse 27, he said, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one and even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So he took it completely out in left field, so to speak. Now, even with the feast right there, he was even a month off from that. It was supposed to be the seventh month, 15th day. This was, we see here how this man was telling them, you know, it's just more easier for you to do it this way. But we know that God's way is always the best way. Look up with me over there in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and verses 30. Exodus chapter 20 and verses 3 through 5. Well, if I get over here. The Lord said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What had they done? The two golden calves. He said, thou shalt not make any make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So there it was right there. What had he done? He did just the opposite of that. He violated everything that I just read there in Exodus chapter 20. And this is the same thing that the devil tried with Christ over there in Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 10. He said, if you'll bow down to me, and Jesus said, nope. Jesus said, he corrected him real quick. When you go over there to chapter 4 of Matthew, when you start there at about verse 9, he says, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship and serve. So yes, Jesus made it very clear. Jesus withstood Satan to his face. When we see people doing that today, you know, we need to say the same thing. Get thee hence. Get away, Satan. This is not the way the Lord wants it done. But this is what Jeroboam had done, hadn't he? Sure he had. He made those two calves made out of gold there in 1 Kings in chapter 12, verse 28. He said, hey, here's the gods that got you out of Egypt right there. Oh, yeah, but he was laying it on thick. He probably was influenced by some of the things he had been around there in Egypt. If you recall there, he had to run away from Solomon there to avoid being killed. And he ran to Egypt there. That's back over there in chapter 11 and verse 40. And then the Israelites, after coming out of Egypt, what happened right there? Well, chapter 32 of Exodus, and you look there in verses 1 through 4, you see how that Aaron there, because they were all grumbling and mumbling because Moses had been up on the mountain for so long, he took their earrings and gold and all that, and he made a calf of gold. That was wrong too as well. And this is just how man does it. They want to take worship into their own hands and do it their way when it's already been established the way God wants it. So that's the reason why we must worship God, and it must be His way only. This is the reason we can't take it upon ourselves to worship Him the way we want to. Who are we trying to please, ourselves or God? Well, a lot of the world, as we know, is trying to please themselves. And also, the place there that he had told, Jeroboam was trying to get them to go worship there, and Dan and Bethel, you know, they were right when they wanted to go to Jerusalem, because God had said where they were to go. He said, you go to Jerusalem. That's the place you're supposed to go. Remember over there in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 12, and about verses 10 through 11, he told them there, but when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Neither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes. Thither shall you bring it, and your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. So that right there, he had established a place. Just like we see over going back over there to 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21, it also tells over there as well, even further, when he said, And Rehoboam and the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah of an Ammonitess. So yes, that was what the Lord had chose. Not Dan, not Bethel, but that's what they did, didn't they? As we go back over there to chapter 12 of the book of Kings. They did. They followed right along with that. They were just like sheep there, following the wrong shepherd that we see so much in the world today. Now this right here shows you just how religion can go deteriorate, can go downhill real quick. Solomon had laid that foundation for that, though. Solomon began all that, as we just read over there in 1 Kings chapter 11, in verses 4 and 5, when he had all those wives and concubines, and he catered to them and made it convenient for them by building their places of worship there of the idols that they had chose to worship. So we see how far away from God he had gotten. There he was at one time, a very devout and God-fearing man, and little by little, because of the influences there of his wives, that began to falter. And that's the same thing that can happen to us today. And something else we see too as well, as you remember over there in chapter 12. Jeroboam, he also made priests out of what? Of the lowest of people, which were not of the sons of Levi. The priests were supposed to, as God commanded, to be of the tribe of Levi. But what did he do? He chose who would be, you know, who he wanted to be. Over there in Numbers in chapter 3, we read over there in verses, chapter 3, verses 5 through 13, it was. We see how that God had ordained, had chosen, commanded who would be. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. So yes, they were the ones that was chosen. What did Jeroboam do? He chose the lowest of them. He didn't choose them. And he even has went as far to do the work of the high priest himself. He wasn't supposed to be doing those things. You know, today, those that are Christians are called a priest. That's just another name for us. Another name is disciples. But this is what we are. To be a priest of the Lord today, we have to be one of those that have obeyed the gospel. Not just anybody can call themselves a priest. Not just anyone can call themselves a Christian. It's only those who have been obedient to the gospel that are still being faithful. Now, we have unfaithful Christians, that's for sure. But we know, keep in mind what he said over there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, that we, those who have been obedient, these are the ones who are Christians today. 1 Peter chapter 2. If I get over there. And verses 4 through 5. It says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The work within the church today, the leading of songs, prayers, teaching, is to be, we are the priests. It's only those that can do it. Not just anyone can walk in off the street that hasn't, if it's someone that hasn't obeyed the gospel, if it's someone that's not faithful. No. But what did Jeroboam do? He just, anybody. And you're still that same way today. We see so many people making that same mistake. Even the feast day, he had changed it. Remember, it was supposed to be on the seventh month, Leviticus 23, 33 through 34, the 15th day. But what did he do? On the eighth month. Changed it. He's changing everything around. Oh, you said, well, it was close. It wasn't far off. Verse 32 of chapter 12, 1 Kings says, "And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month." But what, like I said, Leviticus 23, 33 through 34 tells it that it was a seventh month. And that's the same thing we see going on in the world today. Well, it's not too far off. It's close. I remember a preacher telling me one time that this other one there, he went and heard him speak. And later on, you know, he confronted him about some of the things he had told, as he had preached. He said, "Well, we're not that far off. If you're off, you're off. This isn't a game of horseshoes. You know, you can throw horseshoes, and if you get one close, you know, it's... But, you know, when it comes to teaching God's Word, you need to throw a ringer every time. It's got to be right on. It can't be close. It's got to be exactly. Because those things won't get you saved. You know, if you say, well, would you want to just be close to getting to heaven? No, I want to be in heaven. If you're just getting close, that means you're still not there. If I want to go to Corbin, I don't stop at Woodbine and say, well, I'm close to Corbin. I can't say I'm in Corbin because I'm not there. The same way today, if you want to worship God, worship Him the way He has said, not the way some other person has, you know, dictated and said, that's close. No. But we must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ made that very clear to the woman there at the well in John 4 and verse 24 when He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. There was no, now you can kind of worship Him in spirit and truth, or you can get close to it. No, He said you must. When you hear that word must, that means there's no other options. Nothing else will be accepted. You know, if you recall over there in Exodus 25 and verses 8 through 9, and in the, also in verse 40 there, we remember how that when God had instructed Moses over there in building of the tabernacle, He told him exactly how it was to be done. He said there in verses 8 and 9, He said, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it." Now, did he say, you can get close to this? No, he said, it's got to be exactly. And when you go over to verse 40 of that last verse of that chapter there, what did he say? And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Now, he reminded Moses, now, you remember that pattern I gave you? That's the one you're supposed to follow. What happened? Well, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, you know, the sons of Aaron offered up strange fire. You know, there was only a certain way that it was supposed to be done, and they offered it up wrong. What was the results of that? Well, they were killed. When you go over there to chapter 16 and in verse 20 over there, you'll see, or 12, I'm sorry, you'll see also how that hit will show exactly what kind of fire was supposed to be done. It says, "And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil." Now, what they did, I'm not sure. But I do know one thing. Leviticus chapter 10 says that they offered up a strange fire. They put fire therein and put incense thereon, but it was still not exactly after the pattern that they had been, that God had commanded. And so, yes, what was the results? They were killed. And so, you know, and that's something, that disobedience, it continues even today within the Lord's church. It continued even back then as well. They continued to do things that was contrary to the Word of God. First Chronicles over there in chapter 13 and verses 7 through 10, look at what it says. "And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahijah drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. Now you say, well, why did the Lord kill him? All he was trying to do there was just to keep it from falling. Well, the thing that was wrong was it wasn't supposed to be transported that way. There was only one way that it was supposed to be transported. First of all, it wasn't on a cart pulled by an ox. It was supposed to, the ark had rings in it there, and there were staves to be placed in those, and the priests there of the Levites could carry it on their shoulders. That was it. It had been stated there exactly the way it was supposed to be done. And that's the same thing today within the Lord's church. It's been stated exactly how things are supposed to be done. It doesn't matter what pleases us. It's what pleases the Lord. Chapter 15, and starting at about verse 11 of 1 Chronicles also, it says, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar and priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Isaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Abinadab, and said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place that I have prepared for it. Because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So David, you know, he backed up there and he did it correctly that time, didn't he? He did it the way he was supposed to. That's the same way we're supposed to be doing it today. It's been already been told how we're to do it. We're supposed to, like, you know, why do we don't have musical instruments? Because God's word doesn't instruct it. He said, sing and make melody in your heart. The melody is within our mind. Brother Jeff, when he begins to sing a song, when he starts it, he knows that melody. And it doesn't have any musical instruments. He doesn't holler over and, hey, you on the guitar, hit a G there for me. No. It's that melody is within our hearts. It's right here. And so, yes, the same way. In the teaching and preaching, the doctrines, it's supposed to be based on God's word. We have that command there. You take when Solomon there in the temple, as you go back over there, 1 Chronicles in chapter 28 this time, we see over there, at about starting at about verse 11, it said, and then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and the place of the mercy seat. So as you read on down through there, he was giving him the pattern there for the temple that he couldn't build because he had shed blood. He was a warrior. But Solomon was to build it, but he couldn't build it any way he wanted to. There was a pattern that he had to follow. But what happened? Well, once again, disobedience. You go back over there to 2 Chronicles. You go over to 2 Chronicles this time in chapter 26. We see over there, starting at about verse 16, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, who was it? Uzziah. He wasn't supposed to do that. Once again, and Azariah the priest went in after him and his other priests there, and they told him, though they confronted him that he was doing it wrong. And so, yes, the same thing today. If something's being done wrong, you need to confront it about it. Say, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible teaches. You know, it has to be carried out in a strict manner. And we don't have time to go over that today, but we know that throughout God's Word, it's very specific on how things are to be done. Jeroboam's religion had its origin there from his heart. If you recall over there in 1 Kings chapter 12, you know, he said within his heart right there. And Jeroboam, he says there, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. So he, within his heart, you know, this is how his religion originated, even though it had already been established. You know, that's just like in the world today. And what Jesus Christ said over there in Matthew 15, 3 through 6, you know, it was a vain worship there. He confronted those men about some of the things that they're, the traditions of the elders that they had incorporated into the old law, which they were not supposed to do. He said, God says this, but you say this. He said, you've changed it and you've made the laws of God of none effect. You know, like just like with Jeroboam, he said, here's Dan and Bethel. It's good enough. That ain't what God said. He said, Jerusalem. What else? We see in the world today, we see people say, well, children are born in sin. Over there in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, it very specific saying, you know, the son doesn't inherit the sins of the father. We all have our own responsibility that we have to. And some would say, well, God's too merciful. He's not going to punish anyone. Well, you read through Matthew 25 over there, you'll see that it is very specific on that there will be a punishment for the wicked, those who are unfaithful. And some will say, well, the scriptures are not sufficient enough. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17 says that they are perfect and they're complete. They're lacking nothing. And also, some would say, well, if we don't address men with titles there, we hear of some of, well, Reverend this and Pope so-and-so. Jesus said over there in Matthew 23, 9, no, you don't do that. There's only one that should be called in reverence, and that's God himself. That's the one. God's ways and thoughts are not man's. That's what he made that very clear in Isaiah 55. And it's not. His ways are above us. Why? Because he's the one that created us. And the human heart, it's deceitful. That's what Isaiah said over there in chapter 17, verse 9. And it is deceitful. Very deceitful. He wants things, you know, doesn't everyone want things their way? If we go to eat somewhere, don't we want it fixed the way we want it? But this is not a buffet. We're talking about serving the Lord, isn't it? Proverbs 16:25, there's the way that seemeth right unto man, but the way that the end thereof is death. So when man devises his own ways and his worship, it becomes vain, as what Christ said in Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. But our duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the purpose of religion. It's not to please us. This is what the world has done today. We see how that this was something that was addressed over there in Malachi chapter 1, how that they had not showed the reverence and respect to the Lord that they should have. And how that over there in Isaiah, he mentions it too as well. But Jeroboam's religion was instituted for his own selfish reasons there. He was afraid that he would lose his kingdom. He had forgotten what he had been told there, that was not to happen there in 1 Kings 11, 34 through 36. And yet so many today, they forget about what God's word says, thinking, oh, I got to do it this way. No, we have to do it God's way, always God's way. God's way is for our own good, and it'll always be for the good. Deuteronomy over here in chapter 6, if you will, and about verse 24. Now, some of these I've just kind of made notion of, or noted in these verses right here because of the lack of time. It says in verse 24 of Deuteronomy 6, look at what it says. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. Why? For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And that's the same thing today. That was repeated over there also in Deuteronomy 12 and in verse 28. It's for our good. It's for our own good. That's the reason why it's made this way. He said, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Did it go well for those there that Jeroboam deceived and they followed blindly, worshiping God the wrong way? No, it did not go well for them. He said, oh, it's just too much for you to do that. It's just too inconvenient. And there are those today that think, well, it's just too inconvenient to attend all the services. It's just too inconvenient to baptize by dunking them completely under. They'll say, well, let's do it this way. Let's just sprinkle a little water on your head, and that way you just get a little water on your head, and I don't get wet at all. No, we both go down to that water, and you're baptized for the remission of your sins. Otherwise, you haven't followed the pattern that God has set forth in His Word. Colossians 2, verse 12 said it's a burial. A burial means it's completely covered. No sprinkling. And yet we see so many today thinking that they can live their life any way they want to. And when they're on their deathbed, well, I can call on the Lord there and I'll be saved. Proverbs over there in chapter 1, and you look there in verses 24 through 29, and after we read that, I want you to tell me that it says that. He said, because I have called... Let me make sure I'm in the right place. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none on my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. So yes, there's only one deathbed salvation of repentance, and that's if you're already a faithful Christian and you need to repent of something, you could then. But as far as living your life out here in sin and then thinking that you can be, well, I'll call on the name of the Lord now. No, you still have to be baptized. There still has to be repentance. And besides that, you hear all the time, people die in their sleep. There's no opportunity to repent. There's no obedience there. And some think, well, I'm sincere. That should be enough. No, sincerity is not enough. God's Word. Look at Saul. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was sincerely thinking he was doing the right thing, destroying the church. He was wrong. He was sincerely wrong. Today, we have to obey the gospel there and do it the Lord's way. And when we do that, look at the results. When we follow God's word, men are blessed. They were like that all throughout the Old Testament, like of Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 27. When we abide in the doctrine of Christ, as 2 John chapter 9, or verse 9 says, we have both the Father and the Son. Fellowship with them. Jeroboam brought a great curse upon himself and the people there as a result of changing God's way. You know, and God's curse rests on those who would change the Lord's way today. This is what Paul addressed over there in Galatians chapter 1 when he told some of them there that he marveled, that he was amazed that they had already listened to another gospel. He said there wasn't another gospel, as you read in chapter 1 there, and starting in verse 6 of Galatians. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. It's a curse. It was a curse upon those people there to worship God the wrong way. And that's something for us. It's there as a reminder for us today to make sure we do it according to the pattern that God has told us and commanded in His Word. And just like Jeroboam there, you know, we have so many people today, they want it their way to suit them, thinking, well, I'm not doing anyone else no harm. Well, look at the harm that he did those people there when he introduced the wrong way of worship. So don't think today that just because you're doing it your way that, well, think about who else you're influencing there. Think about what Christ said over there in John chapter 4 and in verse 20. We must worship in spirit and truth. Many today are not doing that. And just like I mentioned there this morning, you know, in our Bible study, we see how that the apostles there and what they had when they were confronted there to not preach the gospel. The question that Peter and John said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge you. Think about it. He said, are we supposed to worship, obey God or you? We're going to obey God. And in Acts 25 and verse 29, or Acts 5, 29, it says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That right there, if you always do that, you can be successful in obeying the Lord and glorifying His name and being ready for that day that you can hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. A faithful servant is obedient to God completely. But one that's unfaithful chooses to do exactly the opposite of what his Lord has commanded him to do. I hope we went over a few things. I had to go over it kind of swift-like, but nevertheless, you know, the object of that whole lesson right there is there for our learning, help us and keep us on track, because the thing we want to do is just like Christ said there in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he mentions two different ways. He mentions a straight and narrow way, and he mentions a broad way. We need to stay away from the broad way. The broad way is what is the problem today with so many people. They want it their way. And like I've said before, this isn't Burger King. You can't have it your way. It's got to be God's way. And if it's not, you will be accursed, just like Paul said there in Galatians chapter 1. Brother Jeff has chosen a song of invitation. We always stand prepared to assist those who might be subject to gospel call. You've heard the word, repent of your sins. You know, confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. This is how you become a child of God. This is how you are added to the church. And at this time, if you'll come as we stand and sing.